Howdy there, good evening, Mouthful fans. This is Betsy Fisher, and I am sitting in tonight for Michelle, who is a bit under the weather. So, Michelle, we send you our best wishes for a speedy recovery, and I'm very happy to be here tonight. Here's what I'm going to do. Tonight, I'd like to chat with you about the topic of restaurant service. Sometimes we cringe when we hear that phrase, because it certainly conjures up all kinds of memories of the past, memories of experiences in restaurants where we shake our heads and go, how can people run a restaurant like this? So here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask you to call in tonight and tell me about any fabulous or any horrendous service experiences you've had recently, locally, nationally, wherever you've been. We can talk about the local scene. We can talk about anything that pertains to dining out and that part of dining out that is what we like to call the human element, which is, I think, why it makes it so difficult to navigate. Here's the number. Write this down. 588-0637. That's 588-0637. We'll take your calls and love to hear anything you might want to contribute to tonight's show. Let me give you some preliminary thoughts of where I come from. The topic of restaurant service is of particular interest to me because I have spent most of my career knee-deep in the subject. I have worked in the front house and in management positions in the restaurant industry for, well, I got to tell you, for about 30 years. And recently, I've been the front house operations coordinator and instructor in Santa Rosa Junior College's Culinary Arts Department. Been doing that for the past 5 years. So my students are the food servers in our little 100-seat white tablecloth restaurant, which is open for lunch 3 days a week. And I'm pleased to say that I know that many of you are our regular guests. My students are there to learn and practice the fine and sometimes frustrating art of guest service. Why is it frustrating? Because defining what service is, particularly good service, isn't easy. Good service is very subjective, very personal, very human, and not very easy to achieve, period. I readily admit that in our restaurant, we often give slow and sloppy service, not on purpose, of course, but because hitting it right on the mark every time consistently is a never-ending challenge. You know, SRJC is actually one of the very few schools in the country that offers a front house operations certificate, and I think over the last 5 years, I have come to understand why. You see, service isn't about recipes and ingredients and costs and black and white. It's about human nature, attitude, and personality. Not exactly the stuff that businesses rush to embrace in the workplace. Service training is time-consuming, it's expensive, and it's challenging. So, consequently, it is very often ignored by owners and managers. Hence, we shake our heads and wonder, how can this place still be open after this bad, lousy service that I just experienced? Now, not all restaurants ignore the importance of training. Big restaurants usually have the budgets. Big chains, like Cheesecake Factory, for instance, they've been known to spend $750,000 to give their staff 2 days of on-the-job training during a trial run before they actually open one of their restaurants. And that cost doesn't even include the many days of training that take place before that trial run. But you know, Cheesecake Factory, that's a big company. Their restaurants average, I think, over $10 million in sales annually. So why can't then a small place figure this out? Why can't so many of our local places figure this out? Why do they so often seem overstaffed with untrained people? Those of you who are foodies, and I know that that is the definition of Michelle's audience, you must know that the Zagat Guide annually does surveys and talks a lot about in the guide about service. And it's still, service is still the number one complaint of diners across the country, and particularly in the Bay Area. And as a matter of fact, restaurants in the Bay Area this past year in the 2008 Zagat Guide averaged 18 out of 30 points in their service score. And as a teacher, that translates to me like a borderline D or F in my classroom. So service failures are obviously a big part of the discussion in the restaurant biz and a big part of the discussion, I'm sure, among you and your friends when you go out. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to give you that food for thought, and I want you to think about it. I'm going to give you the phone number again, 588-0637, and I want to take a break for just a couple of minutes, ask you to call in with your service success or your service horror stories. Let me ask you to be kind. Don't mention the bad guys' names, but let's chat about what you think keeps the level of service so mediocre at best in so many restaurants. We'll be back. Taking your calls at 588-0637. Just want to have a little chat with you about restaurant service. We are such a big food and wine county. Restaurants make up such a huge part of our economy. And it's the age-old question of why can't we get it right? So as somebody in the industry and somebody who tries her best to do what I can to improve restaurant service, I want to hear from you and what kinds of experiences you've had. I want to tell you about the latest one that I had. My husband and I were going to have lunch at this casual West County Cafe. We'd been there a few other times. We liked it. It was very casual. It was very funky, and actually that's why we liked it. And we were used to, let's call it a little bit of slow service. That's not a negative. That was really actually appropriate for the kind of place it was. So we went back after having been there a couple times and really enjoying it, and it was 11:30, and the doors had just opened for lunch. It was a Saturday, very little business. The streets were kind of bare. I think it was a beautiful day, and people were out in the river. It was 11:30. We were the first to arrive. A server greeted us, gave us some menus, and then for a good 3 to 4 minutes, he did that disappearing act into the kitchen. Now, over the course of the next 5 minutes, two new tables arrived. The server came out, seated them, and then disappeared each time. And now, in the meantime, no one's order has been taken, including ours. So then the server comes out and proceeds to wait on all three tables at once, which is really a recipe for disaster. So from the time we walked through the door into the restaurant until we received our food, it was 42 minutes. Yes, I checked my watch. In the midst of it all, we then realized that the owner of this place was in the back room decorating a cake, which she proudly showed off as she walked through the dining room with it and out the door to deliver it down the street, while we all sat there dumbfounded. So on our way out, when I mentioned to the owner that we had waited quite a while and we obviously were visibly unhappy, she didn't apologize, but instead she made excuses for being short-staffed. Then she reluctantly and with a bit of anger comped us our lunches. And even though we got it free, I think you know what I mean when I say it wasn't worth it. You know, it takes commitment from ownership and management to create and maintain great customer service. It is rarely about the individual employees who are trying to perform good service. If the owner doesn't know the basics, then the staff can never achieve it. And I think that's what we often experience because the foundation isn't laid properly and the foundation is kind of messed up. So you can't really go any further than that if the ownership behaves, in this case, the way this gal did. So I'm wondering if anybody has any service experiences to top that one. You know, one of my biggest pet peeves when I go into a restaurant is entering the restaurant, standing in the front area, looking around and seeing that, you know what, everybody's just too busy to even say, hello, we'll be right with you. I don't know about you, but I stand there feeling like I'm in no man's land. You know, I wonder if I look weird or something. I wonder if I smell bad. You know, I just wonder, maybe I'm here on the wrong day. Maybe there's a party going on and I really wasn't invited, but here I am. And this is really what service is all about. Service is all about hospitality. Service is all about making people feel at home, feel comfortable, feel happy that they walked into your premises. And so often we focus on the rules and the regs and the techniques and the I'm supposed to do this and I'm supposed to do that, rather than just saying, you know what, we're glad you're here. We have three service goals in our classroom at the Santa Rosa Junior College Culinary Cafe. Our students live by three goals. First, they learn that it's important and useful and wonderful to put the greatest amount of their energy into enjoying their work. Because if they're enjoying their work, it's naturally going to infect positively and be contagious among the rest of the group of people working as well as the customers. Second, our service goal is to treat our guests as if they are guests in our home, because really our work is often our second home. So treating our guests as if they are guests in our home also makes it easier for service staff to just relax and to just kind of do unto others thing rather than worrying about, am I doing this right and am I doing this wrong? And lastly, we strive to never let a guest leave unhappy or dissatisfied. Much different than, obviously, the experience that I had at this restaurant, where we were not only unhappy throughout the meal, but upon leaving, felt that we had just totally disrupted this owner's day. She reluctantly comped us our food. She was angry about it. She was full of excuses. She could have very, very easily rectified the whole situation by just looking at me straight in the eye, shaking her head and saying, "You know what? I'm really sorry. This really has been a day that sucked." And you know what? I would have giggled with her. I would have sympathized with her. I would have empathized with her. And I swear, everything would have been a lot better. And that's what we try to teach our students, and that's what the best restaurants really teach their people, that it's all about that personal interaction with the guest from start to finish. It's an interaction. It's not a transaction. Really, really important. So, number is 588-0637. I know there's a few of you out there who eat in restaurants pretty regularly, and come on now, we're just sitting around the coffee table chatting here. It'd be a good idea for you to pick the phone up and give me a call, so I'm not just talking to myself here. So let me tell you about another thing that really annoys me in a restaurant situation as far as service goes. People who work in restaurants who don't smile and who walk around as if they're robots getting tasks done and not, again, really being hospitable to the guest. And again, I blame it on the owners. I'll blame them every time, because the whole point in a hospitality business is to create a culture where people enjoy working, people enjoy hanging out with each other, and therefore those people will transfer that pleasant, positive feeling to the guests around them. And there are no better performers in a job place than those who love what they're doing, who feel respected, who are happy about things, and who really feel like, yeah, of course I'm going to go out of my way for that guest who walks in the door because I like it here, and why wouldn't I? I think that's what we really experience. We experience the opposite of that most of the time, and I think that's most of what our service issues are about, is the workplace is not as much fun to work in anymore. So I hear we have a caller on the line. Let's go. Who do we have?
Hi, my name's Carrie.
Welcome.
And first of all, I have to say I couldn't agree with you more.
Okay.
I just happened to be listening to you talk about your recent experience in West County.
Yeah.
And I, too, just within the last couple of weeks, had a very similar experience with a longtime favorite restaurant in Healdsburg.
Ah.
And as I said, what you were saying just resonated because of the similarities. And I really have the issue with the management and responsibility of training their staff to handle the things that happen. Like you say, you know, there are bad days in restaurants, and sometimes you're short-staffed, and, you know, sometimes the kitchen just isn't, you know, going as fast as it could, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and you know what that word is, that what you're talking about? You're talking about empowerment.
Right.
You're talking about a savvy ownership or management who is able to instill all the right stuff in their people so that no matter what happens, those people feel empowered, enabled, and happy to handle even the bad stuff that inevitably will happen.
Exactly, exactly. And that's all the customers are looking for most of the time.
Right, right.
You know, I wasn't looking to make a big deal out of it. I'm really not one to be a complainer. I usually just, you know, put up with the bad service or bad food or whatever it may be. But this time I just felt that it wasn't acceptable. We called a couple of things to the attention of the server, who was very sweet. They were clearly a little bit short-staffed. It was a lunchtime as well. And first of all, she, you know, became defensive and was arguing about what, you know, should have been on the plate, saying that Kind of a long story, but, you know, it wasn't as the menu read.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And rather than saying, oops, you know, sorry, let me go get that for you, she said, well, it's not supposed to be on there. And it's like, well, we've been coming here for, you know, 6-7 years somewhat regularly, and it's always been that way, and it says so on the menu. But, you know, we let that slide. And then there was another problem with the food, and at that point, we asked to speak to the floor manager, mm-hmm. thinking that, you know, we come here all the time. We bring friends from out of town. We bring family there.
That means you're a regular. They should have been really standing up tall for
exactly,
you.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, we know the menu. We all order the same things every time we go there. Mm-hmm. So we know what it's supposed to look like and taste like, and everything was off. I mean, significantly. It wasn't just little things, but, you know, fairly big things. And then when the floor manager came out, she, too, was defensive and almost argumentative. Rather than saying, oh, yeah, I see the sandwich isn't what it should be, let me fix that for you, she said, well, I just had one of those sandwiches, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Honest to God, that's what she said.
There's an untrained management right there, right?
Exactly. And you know, took my sandwich that was not even close to how it should have been, because as I said, I have the same thing every time I go to this restaurant. And she reluctantly took the sandwich back into the kitchen where someone had put a couple extra pieces of cold chicken on a hot sandwich and brought it back and thought that was acceptable and continued to argue with me that, you know, well, that's how it's supposed to be.
Isn't it amazing how some restaurants succeed despite themselves?
Yes. Yeah, unbelievable. Well, Healdsburg is, you know, kind of a touristy town.
Yeah.
And
well, and that restaurant might not survive if it continues to do that.
Well, we had a long discussion. You know, being longtime locals, we all had an interesting discussion afterwards. I mean, all like you had said, all she had to do was, you know, say, whoops, sorry, you know, offer to give us a dessert. I mean, we weren't even looking for it to be comped, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, just do anything, but don't argue with us.
Right.
Don't deny that the food is not as it should be.
Right.
And that was coming from management. It was, I have to tell you, it was very disappointing and very disheartening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're afraid that, you know, sometimes when towns do become successful because of the tourist industry, they lose sight.
Yeah.
They lose sight of what's important, and they lose sight of that personal interaction, as you called it, as, mm-hmm. you know, as being the foremost important issue.
Right.
And that's, it's like I said, we all walked away feeling very sad and, you know, irritated, of course, but sad as well. You know, it's like what's happening to our town and our businesses.
Right.
So.
Well, listen, thank you very much for your call. Really appreciate it. And
well, thanks for bringing light to this, because I think, in our, especially in Sonoma County, you know, it's an important topic that
yes.
should be talked about.
We will continue talking. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, she's really got it right. She covered a whole number of issues. Here's just something to add on real quick. I had a similar experience in a West County restaurant. I'm not digging on West County here. This just happened to be there. But, you know, the menu said a mozzarella and spinach sandwich on a baguette. And I was all ready for it. And what they brought me was goat cheese and spinach on focaccia. And the server just, first of all, carrying the plate out from the kitchen, there is a visual difference between a baguette and focaccia, okay? Didn't even notice what she was carrying in her hand, and then she put it down in front of me and didn't notice it. And then, when I brought it to her attention, she looked at me like I was from another planet. I mean, these kinds of service gaffes are the frustration, and you heard the frustration in the gal's voice who just called a moment ago. It's amazing what it does to us. It makes us want to vent, because what it's all about is about poor human interaction. And that makes us unhappy, whether it's in this situation or with our spouses at home or our friends or whatever. So if employers start taking service a little more to heart and understanding that it really is about people to people, it's not just about the great food, not just about your location. It's about how do people feel when they're in your restaurant with your people. That is really the key to success in any great restaurant on this planet. has the characteristics of a culture of positive people enjoying what they're doing. Let's take a short break. We'll be back.
We are walking, stalking the wild asparagus. We're picking mushrooms, enough to feed a dozen or a pair of us. When it's warm and wet in the woods in the spring, that's the kind of weather that we'll always bring. Mushrooms and asparagus peeking through the leaves and grass. We pack them in our canvas bags, we pick them as we pass. We're walking, stalking the wild asparagus. We're picking mushrooms, enough to feed a dozen or a pair of us.
All righty, we're back. I want to give you that phone number again. It's 588-0637. We have the ability to take one call at a time here, so if you call, you're probably getting a busy signal. Just try us again. Like to take a couple more calls before we leave you in about 15 minutes or so. So 588-0637. Would love to hear your frustrations, or, you know, hey, let's not just be negative here. You got a good restaurant that you go to regularly because the service is fabulous, because they get it, because they know what they're doing. I'd like to hear about that, too. I think businesses that work that way ought to be lauded for that, and we should definitely give them a chance. So I think we've got a caller on the line. Hey, what say you?
Hello, this is Gladys from Santa Rosa.
Hi, Gladys.
I want to know what to do when I've had a very bad experience in a restaurant, and I almost feel like I would like to tell somebody, but I'm too embarrassed. Should I write a letter? I feel like the restaurant has potential, but I am too embarrassed upon leaving. I just want to get out of there.
Well, you know what? It's a very, very timely topic, Gladys, because I got to tell you, this is one of those subjects that is being written about a lot right now. I mean, you know, with blogging and the internet and just so much more communication going on out there. I've been reading a lot about this, and I'll tell you what, most people do not like bringing up service issues while they're in the restaurant, because you know why? Very few people, very few managers are trained to actually know how to graciously handle it. Mm-hmm. I, for one, will not. I just so rarely, that experience I described in the restaurant a little while ago where I did bring it up, it was the hardest thing for me to do, and my husband Greg will tell you that it ruined me for the rest of my day because mm-hmm. I shook walking out of there. Not that I was just mad, but I was so emotionally distraught over it. So the answer to your question is, you know, only if you feel and you can see a good manager, a good person walking around that see, and you get the vibes that something positive might come of it. Otherwise, I will be radical and tell you no. Don't say anything while you're there, but absolutely you must. And I would use the restaurant's website and find out who the manager or better yet, who the owner is and send them an email. I absolutely, every time that I have done that, I have gotten a reply, and I feel like I've been able to vent mm-hmm. in more of an intellectual way rather than, you know, the emotional stuff that happens when you're still in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And should you expect a response?
Well, I'll tell you what, again, it's always dependent on who are the people in the hierarchy of this business. If they're people who are, you know, are smart and savvy and are really working hard to please the customer, you will definitely get a reply. You will definitely get some kind of call to action, something that they will do for you. And on the other hand, if they're a bunch of jerks, then you probably won't, and then you hopefully just say to yourself, well, I don't need to go back there. And when I have that happen to me in a restaurant, I generally just won't go back if mm-hmm. even an email to the owner. If that doesn't get a reply, then I think what you've discovered is a business where the guests really don't figure that highly mm-hmm. into the mix.
you just feel if you respond that maybe they're going to be rolling, or if you send them your experience, they're going to roll their eyes.
Oh, and they very well might. But again, you know, we don't know whether you don't know whether you're talking to a bunch of jerks or whether you're talking to some really great people who just might have had a bad day, who mm-hmm. might truly appreciate the opportunity of hearing from someone who's articulate and smart and just being straight out by saying, you know what, this really didn't work for us. A good owner or manager will bend over backwards to get it right. And then, frankly, I think then you've really won in the end, because your opinion of that restaurant now can stay on a positive place, and you can go back there again. So I think it's a mistake if we completely ignore service gaffes and mm-hmm. don't do anything about them. But it is a question of how to do it so that the emotional stuff doesn't kind of wreck it all.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling,
Gladys. That's been very helpful.
So some more service issues. I tell you what, man, they're out there. And here's one of my other big pet peeves. And we really work on this really, really hard with our students in the SRJC Culinary Cafe. It's about interrupting conversations at the table. And you can do this as a service person. It's very easy to do. And it's really something that you have to teach yourself a couple of little things that get you in the habit of not doing it. You do it by approaching the table, standing still, taking a silent breath and smiling to get the attention of the guests. So before you just walk over to that table and start opening your mouth and talking, the guests have the opportunity to go, oh, there's someone standing here. Oh, she's waiting for us to finish. So now we will. They'll give you some good eye contact, and then you, as the service person, will be able to do what you need to do. We have another caller on the line. Let's go. Who do we have with us today?
June from Santa Rosa.
I'm sorry, the name?
June.
Hi, June. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Good.
Listen, I disagree with you. I think instead of training people who wait on customers to be friendly and to enjoy hanging out, I think you should train them to be professional. I
oh,
want
absolutely.
A pleasant person waiting on me, and I'm going to be pleasant right back. But I'm not looking for a new best friend. I'm looking for a competent wait person who's going to listen to me and take my order accurately. You know, it's not really that complicated not to put mayonnaise on the bun when I ask for no mayonnaise. I want them to pay attention to the table and what's going on at the table and to notice when we need things. And in terms of hanging out, it so irritates me to see the wait staff congregate in a corner having a great conversation or talking on their cell phone or flirting with the busboy when they could be, filling up water, checking on coffee, coming over and picking up dishes, asking if you want your bill. It can be very difficult to get a bill in some restaurants when you're ready to go.
Oh, I completely agree with you. And you know what, June? I misspoke. Hanging out is like a totally not acceptable phrase. It shouldn't even be in my vocabulary. So I slap myself on the cheek for that. And I completely agree with you. All I'm saying is that I see that for years we've spent so much time and attention on the technique mm-hmm. and on the skill, and we've lost the fact that when people go out to eat, yes, you're right, there are some service things that need to be accomplished well, but by and large, we really do want them to be performed by nice people.
Exactly.
And I worry that businesses often don't even hire nice people to begin with. They don't even try to make sure that when they let people out on the floor, so to speak, to deal directly with paying customers, that how is this person going to make judgments and treat people? Are they going to be polite? And I agree with you. I'm not looking for friends and being casual with folks. I'm just saying that I think the emphasis for too long has been away from making sure that people in the hospitality business treat you, the guest, in a pretty hospitable way.
I must say, I think a lot of that has to do with the tendency of businesses to hire young,
yes,
pretty, kind of sometimes, I must say, airhead, mm-hmm. hard bodies, mm-hmm. who flirt with the customers, mm-hmm. instead of lifer waitresses who mm-hmm. have been on their feet for 20, 30 mm-hmm. years, know how to pour a cup of coffee, know how to watch a table, and know how to take and deliver an order. And just like I'm not looking for a new best friend when I go to a restaurant, I'm not looking for eye candy either.
Oh, yeah. And you know, you and I both know. Let me ask you, what's the one position in a restaurant where you so often see that, oh, let's not be bad about this, Betts, you know, where the real young gal with the long blonde hair.
Well, there's the receptionist.
Right
the
there
hostess,
when you walk in the front door. And you said it when you said airhead, in that, isn't that the most important person at that moment when the guest walks in the door to make sure that that person is totally on top of his or her game?
Well, in my experience doing food service over the years, often the receptionist or the hostess is also the person that acts basically as the floor manager and evens out the stations for the wait staff so not one person's overburdened and another person doesn't have any work to do. And also kind of keeps an eye on thing and if you're, things. And if you're dealing with someone that hasn't actually been on their feet and done the job, they often don't know how to do the job.
Sure. That definitely can be the case, and that person actually turns out to be kind of worthless for everyone, including for the guest. I'm also talking about, though, the position that pays usually $9 to $10 an hour, many times without tips.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first person you see when you come in the door, and he or she is always hired because of their looks or their style. And oftentimes, whether or not they can multitask, whether or not they can be gracious under fire, whether or not they can handle phones and guests walking in the door and a frantic food server, not all of these qualities are often not even considered. And
mm-hmm.
yet, we all know that first impression is a huge part of any part of the customer service business, first impression.
Well, and that person is often the person, when they walk you to your table, give you a menu, which can be difficult in some restaurants
right.
to get.
Right.
And make sure you have a glass of water. And then, you know, you're not going to, you know, at least you're not going to die of dehydration. You have the opportunity to peruse the menu before there's somebody there tapping their pencil on their pad for you to take your, give them your order when they just gave you the menu.
Right.
So
yep.
I think, you know, there's lots of timing issues involved with food service, just like there's lots of timing issues involved in the kitchen. And it is a very intricate dance, but certainly training people to give service in a way that it really is service. This is part of why we go out to eat.
Totally.
Is to have somebody wait on us and cook our food, and we don't have to do the dishes. We just have to work to earn the money to pay for it.
And I still sit here dumbfounded after 30 years of being involved in it and wonder why that training is so undervalued by most employers and why they hold their breath and hope that they can just get through another day without their service staff making, you know, too big a problem, you know?
I think part of it is that a lot of, you know, this whole mystique of having destination restaurants and theme restaurants and fashionable restaurants, it used to be that the mom-and-pop businesses that owned restaurants, they had worked every position in the place.
Right.
They knew how to run the dishwasher. They knew how to do the cooking. They knew how to do the service. They knew how to do the baking. And so they knew how to train people to do the job because they actually knew what the job was in, not in theory, not in abstract, but in the reality of doing the job. And you want to make it pleasant for the customer. You want to give them a good meal. But you want to be able to also move them in and move them out and turn the table. And to have bad, slow service not only irritates the customer, but it's not good for the owner of the business because they can't have that many people eating there.
That's right. Yep, you're right. There,
give
it is
me a bill when I say, can I have a bill, please?
Right. Yeah, and there you go with the last impression, which is the other half of the first impression,
uh-huh.
in that that is also one of the last places we want to wait. You know, when it's time to go,
exactly.
it's time to go. Be attentive, and let's get this show on the road. Thank you for your call.
You're sure welcome.
All
bye
right.
Bye.
You know, and a couple final parting words here. Service, again, is one of those things where it's very difficult to teach and it's very difficult to instill a feeling of graciousness and wanting to be of service to others if everything else around you is hectic and unfair, difficult. You know, we're not talking here about training someone to drive a truck. We're talking about instilling in people a culture of awareness for another human being. And I don't know, maybe I should be singing Kumbaya right now, but seriously, folks, I urge you to keep your eye out on local restaurants, and as Gladys said when she called in, I urge you to demand better service. It's available. It can be done. Restaurants need to be have a little fire put under their butts, and have particularly us locals let them know that, you know, once in a while a slip is okay, but with that slip, we'd like an apology. We'd like just a little bit of graciousness with us, with it, and in the long run, make service as important as that glamorous food that's coming out of the kitchen with that glamorous chef you just hired. Because me, the customer, I don't really go in that kitchen. I don't really get to meet that chef. All I get are the results of all the people there. And if my people, the people who are delivering the food to me, are happy and giving me a good time, you know what? That's all I really want. Hey, this has been a blast. This is Betsy Fisher from Santa Rosa Junior College's Culinary Arts Program signing off, wishing Michelle a great show next week and a speedy recovery. And thanks for letting me have the night.
Since biblical times in all parts of the earth, it has cured countless sufferings and ills. If we understood what the garlic is worth, we would throw out our poisonous pills.
In Bulgaria's mountains and Russia's wide plains, people live to 100 years old. For it's juice of the garlic that runs in their veins. Oh, it's worth twice its weight in pure gold. With psyllium, germanium, allicin too, it can fight off all types of disease. So if you've got arthritis, TB, or the flu, just say, peel me a garlic clove, please. Plant some cloves in your garden to keep away worms and the other bad things that kill plants.
Before the Food Network, before Hell's Kitchen, before Immoral and all the rest, there was Julia Child, the woman who taught America how to cook. She was such an unlikely celebrity, too tall, almost funny-looking, with a warble of a voice that is indistinguishable in most people's minds from Bill Murray's imitation of her on Saturday Night Live half a lifetime ago. Nancy Verde Barr, author of the new book Backstage with Julia, began working for Julia Child as a kitchen assistant in 1993 and wound up as her aide-de-camp and executive chef, helping her orchestrate the television shows, cookbooks, and articles that Julia did in the last 20 years of her life. Barr, author of several books on Italian cooking, has written a warm, engaging account of her life with Julia. Don't expect a behind-the-scenes gossip fest, because as Barr points out, with Julia, what you saw is what you got. If you've ever wondered what goes on behind the scenes in cooking shows, you'll find out everything you've ever wanted to know here. Mostly, it's an enormous amount of work. Chopping, sautéing, arranging 3 or 4 versions of every dish featured on the screen. There are predictable moments of panic, when cakes don't rise or salt gets substituted for sugar, or when the production crew accidentally eats the last version of a featured dish. But part of Julia's charm was her ease at dealing with such disasters. Like all books written by associates of celebrities, the book is most interesting when tightly focused on Julia, and sleep-inducing when it strays to the life of the author. Barr seems aware of this danger, however, and never lets Julia wander off camera for long. I learned a few things about Julia Child that surprised me. She was born in Pasadena, California, not Boston, as I'd assumed. She disliked old people, even in her 90s. She was a passionate, lifelong liberal and an avid supporter of abortion rights, often appearing for free at Planned Parenthood events. Julia Child never seemed to realize how famous she was. There's a wonderful story in the book about how Julia, at the height of her fame, went about getting a table at La Grenouille, a French restaurant in New York that was always booked months in advance. When Barr asked how she got the table on the spur of the moment, Julia reported, "I called my hairdresser at Elizabeth Arden's. Her brother is the dishwasher there, and he got us in." When Barr suggested that Julia might just have called the maitre d' and told him who she was, Julia looked at her as if she had lost her mind. mostly what comes through in Barr's book is what television captured so well, Julia Child's enormous zest for life. She once mused to Barr, looking back on her career, "It would have been a shame to have been caught up with something that didn't make you tremble with joy." This is Laura Hager for Mouthful.
Support for Mouthful on KRCB comes from KRCB radio members and from the Sebastopol Farmers Market, now open in the downtown Sebastopol Plaza every Sunday from 10 to 1:30 with organic, sustainable, locally produced fruits, vegetables, meats, and cheeses, plus breakfast, lunch, and local musicians. Support also comes from Peter Lowell's Cafe in Sebastopol, offering breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the rustic Italian tradition, featuring seasonally sourced organic produce. Serving brunch Saturday and Sunday, Peter Lowell's Cafe online at peterlowells.com. Support also comes from NetBooks, complete business management software for companies up to 50 people, including wineries and food producers. Information available at netbooks.com or by phone at 86NETBOOKS.
Listen to what the preacher says. Listen to the Lord. Praise be. It's time for dinner now. Let's go eat. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Listen to what the preacher says. Listen to the Lord. Praise be. It's time for dinner now. Let's go eat.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes.